You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Podument Park. I'm Andrew Mearns, joined by Kun Shaw. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. It's been an eventful week, to say the least.
Yeah, busy, busy times for the Yankees against the Blue Jays and Reds. And boy, we got so much news this week that it feels like a lot compared to the past several, even when the occasional good Yankees week didn't have this much going on.
Yeah, it's there's just so much happened in the last like 7 days since we recorded, and usually it's just well I feel like a lot of the theme this year has been the team sucked and couldn't score runs, but you know, even last week pretty much the last week they've been playing better, but it was still like uneventful relatively in the sense that there was just not a lot of stuff outside of the game, but there was a lot of stuff inside and outside of the games going on this week that is just okay. We're in for a busy one today.
Yeah. I guess we'll just start, get this underway, go up north of the border, the four-game set in Toronto, which is about as crazy was a four-game set as seen between these two teams since, I would say, maybe that 2015 season when they were both competing for the division title.
Yeah, probably. Did you know that in Canada, they allow giant babies to play baseball? And run a baseball organization.
I don't know if that's very. No, that's not very good of them. I mean, it sounds like child labor.
Exactly, but that's what's happening because they're all a bunch of giant babies up there.
Yeah, especially apparently. John Snyder.
First of all, John Snyder, do not call anybody fat boy. Let's just start with that.
Yeah,
do
like what do we call doing anybody?
Like, be aware a little bit. Also, like, just not.
Don't be a butt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, there was a lot going on. Aaron Judge looking to his right apparently caused a lot of controversy because it started with like the Blue Jays announcers just trying to like make something out of nothing because they couldn't explain why Aaron Judge or how Aaron Judge hit a home run.
Yeah, for that part, I've come down on the side of like, if they notice something, they are announcers. It's their job to sort of bring that up. So I don't really care about that. It's just like, okay, fine, but the way that it escalated from there, where then he got like John Schneider talking about it, then he got like other players talking about it, and it becomes basically like a 24-hour news cycle until Aaron Judge hits a home run in almost the exact same situation again the next day in the eighth inning. And then it's like, oh yeah, that's right, Aaron Judge is just really good at baseball, so maybe it didn't matter. And also then the pitcher who threw it admitted that he was tipping, so it's just like, great, glad we solved that.
Yeah, you know, you may not know this, and I don't think it's been covered, but Aaron Judge actually broke the American League home run record last year.
Whoa.
So I understand why some people might be surprised if he hits a home run, but no, he's just good.
Yeah, and pitch tipping, if the guy is doing something with his glove to indicate a pitch is coming, that's perfectly legal to communicate to your players, hey, this is, look for this. So one, Aaron Judge doesn't need all the signs to homer off Jay Jackson. Number two, if he got it, then yeah, he's going to use it if Jay Jackson is being an idiot about tipping catches.
Anyway, I've talked about this more than I want to.
Yeah. Oh my God. That was so tedious. I would get like going on and around the league, and then like Lance is saying, like, oh, I'd hit him. And it's like, okay, Lance, isn't your ERA like 6.5? Maybe calm down.
Are you still pitching, Lance Lynn?
Yeah, he's stuck in the tire fire of Chicago. So, you know, good on him.
I had something and then I lost it.
Yeah.
I'm over it.
Yeah. Well, it was just so tedious. So, like, everyone is weighing in. It's like, oh no, he's like looking over here. Like, when this story is ending up on like SportsCenter and like top headlines on ESPN, it's like, oh my God, calm down, guys. I'm glad that we did not podcast the day after that. So.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, I get it to a certain extent because it's, like, the Yankees and it's Aaron Judge, so it's going to bring in clicks and views and whatever. So, like, and that's just what the business drives off of. So I get it. It's just annoying. It's just really annoying and dumb. And, like, yeah, like, to your point, like, I get that the announcers, like, if they saw something, they have to bring it up. But they were, like, speculating and insinuating while bringing it up, and that's what bothered me more than anything else.
If you're going to the I don't want to speculate about stuff, that's like, well, that's exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And then the next day it turns out that a Yankee was cheating.
Yeah. Oh, freaking Domingo Germán, that was throws three perfect innings and then more rosin mixture whatever going on in his hands. They were talking about like, oh, like it was probably just like dip, but no, that's definitely not just dip. And if the umpire's saying like those are the stickiest hands I've ever felt, then yeah, you're maybe doing something.
And mind you, this umpire crew also felt his sticky hands a few weeks before. I forget when was the last time.
That was against the Twins. April 15th or something like that.
Yeah, so it's the same crew, and they have experience with Domingo's hand stickiness and his inability to wipe his hands after he poops, and, well, they found that it was worse this time.
Yeah, Yankees were, frankly, probably a little lucky that first time around that Domingo Germán was not tossed then. So, I mean, to anyone smarter, it feels like that should have been, like, be on the lookout, don't be an idiot. But yeah,
especially with the same crew, that's the part that gets me. It's like, dude, how dumb are you?
Yeah, no, it was so much of the flashback to Michael Pineda, like having slabs of pine tar, where it's like he had already been like on the like a little bit of a shaky path, and then it's like, don't do that, don't double down.
Yeah, that was a whole thing too.
Yeah, so the Yankees lost to Domingo Germán for 10 games, and they were, frankly, fortunate to stay in the game that they were in as long as they could, and they won that one. So bullpen really did, honestly, a pretty terrific job in the past week of pitching a lot of innings that were not being provided by the starting rotation.
Yeah, no, the bullpen did a phenomenal job. The only one, like, I think you were hoping Gerrit Cole could probably last a little bit longer than six innings. Mm-hmm. And you could see like Aaron Boone trying to make it work and trying to steal at least like another inning, at least another couple outs into that seventh inning. And then it just didn't work for him.
Yeah. But, and that was one where like, I get it just because of how much the bullpen had been used. Like we saw a lot of high leverage innings from like Ryan Weber and Albert Abreu in this past week.
Honestly, working, which is what scared me more than anything else.
Yeah, like, good. We rag on, well, particularly Abreu. Weber, we just don't have any expectations for, because he's just Ryan Weber, and anything you get from him is a bonus. But Abreu can just be frustrating because you see him like dial it up to 99, strike out Matt Chapman and Bo Bichette, and you're like, this guy can do stuff when everything is working well, but it's just such a problem with walks. But this past week, credit where credit's due, he was really good.
Yeah, three innings pitched this past week, two against Cincinnati, one against Toronto. Got four strikeouts, you know, only one walk, no runs, no hits. Like, solid.
Yeah.
A very, very un-Albert Abreu-like performances.
Got saves from King, Peralta, Marinaccio, Weber, and Holmes just in the past week.
Ryan Weber, closer.
Yeah, apparently. It worked out in that 10-inning game.
But you know what? You know what? I do like that. I think that Boone's kind of starting to realize, like, hey, I don't need a specific person in the ninth or whatever. Obviously, Clay Holmes' struggles earlier on lent itself to that. But he's really just going by the matchups, mixing and matching, and doing what it takes. And for all the flack that Aaron Boone catches about his bullpen management, this was a good week for him.
Oh, yeah. Because he's a guy who ends up working a ton, I think, just because like he's a lefty, and also you just feel pretty good with Wandy Peralta out there. So it's definitely a natural inclination to try to pitch him more than pretty much anyone else, except for like Michael King in some ways. But Michael King is also restricted because you're usually going multiple innings with him. But yeah, Wandy seeing a lot of time and doing the job. Unfortunately, did not do the job in the walk-off home run to the Blue Jays for freaking Danny Jansen, who turns into a pumpkin promptly whenever the Yankees are off the field. But, you know, Wandy's been doing this for long enough for the Yankees that you give it a pass.
Yeah, you're allowed to have a blip.
Yeah, I guess we should, in the talking about the bullpen, should talk about the reason why we had to see much more of Albert Abreu and Ian Hamilton. Or, excuse me. There we go. Ian Hamilton on the IL.
Yeah, he came in to replace the ejected Domingo Herman. And he strained his groin, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly maybe he just warmed up a little too quickly or wasn't warmed up enough because he was trying to, you know, get into the game really quick, whatever it is. But, yeah, no, it sucks because he'd been really coming into his own and, you know, climbing up that ladder of in Aaron Boone's inner trusted circle of relievers. And deservedly so. Like, he'd been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Boone had talked about, I think he was, like, nursing something very minor in the past, like, week, so that probably was just a situation where it got aggravated a bit, and now they lost him for, actually, they said 4 weeks, so they're going to have to get by for a little while without him. Ideally, they'll get some reinforcement soon-ish with Tommy Canley, since he's already rehabbing. We'll get to more of that later on the injury front, but for now, they will have to make do without the Salambio, which is too bad.
Yeah, what can you do?
Yeah. They got some reinforcements for the rotation, too, so that'll help eat up some of those innings at the front. Got Luis Severino back Sunday.
Yeah. Sevy season has resumed.
So even with the 75-pitch limit on Sunday, he looked really sharp and gives you a lot of hope for his next outing. And he'll probably be able to go even deeper. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy quite like Cole where you can count on him for this guy can probably give you seven innings whenever, but he can occasionally go seven and he'll usually go six, I would say. So
yeah,
that's
no,
already a step up from what like the back of the rotation was giving you.
Yeah, he got charged for one run, which honestly should have been counted towards the umpire's ERA than his.
Yeah, that
but
was weird.
It was a weird situation. Like you can't blame him for that, but like no, besides that, he looked fantastic, ready to go. You could see why he had been clamoring for, you know, pitching for a while because, you know, he didn't look like he was fighting off any rust or anything like that. Mind you, I mean, it was against the Reds, which is not like, you know, the Rays or Blue Jays or anything like that. But still, like, there's still a Major League Baseball team.
Yep. They are a team that exists. I saw them light up Kodai Senga when they were playing the Mets pretty recently. And Senga's looked pretty good. So they can turn out occasionally. So... That's wow, what a high praise that is. But
they can score runs at times.
Yeah. I mean, I will say I don't think that the Yankees were ever actually going to pick keeping Johnny Brito over Clark Schmidt. But the fact that Schmidt pitched, you know, I don't want to say well, but he pitched pretty, maybe like a B minus against the Reds on Friday. And then Brito just got torched for four runs and four innings. It's like, okay, we know who the better potential starter here is.
Yeah, no, there was almost no shot with just the way the season had rolled out. Obviously, if Brito was pitching like he did the first two games, yeah, no, 100%. Probably you had that conversation with Clark Schmidt and Brito stays in the rotation. But the way it had been going, there was no chance in hell. And the Yankees confirmed that when they sent him down to activate Luis Severino.
Yeah, and I believe they will need to figure out what to do with Brito's rotation spot in the next week because, you know, they won't have Domingo Germán. Thanks, man. But I'm sure they were just like, we will cross that bridge when you come to it. Hopefully no one gets injured. But if someone does, then just swap him back in. So we'll see.
Yeah, they'll probably figure it out, piece together some sort of bullpen game.
Yeah,
which is kind of what like every other game has been anyway. So
yeah, in the past eight games for Johnny Brito, he had an ERA of 7.12 and a FIP of 6.52 and a 965 OPS against. So that is not what you want.
So what you're saying is he was pitching better than the results showed.
So you understand it, but hopefully he can work out something more with his other pitches because the changeup still looks really good. He just doesn't have enough pitches right now, really, to get it done at the big league level. Even like when he came in as the bulk guy in that one opener situation with Jimmy Cordero in Toronto, he was just fine. I thought like he still gave four runs. One of them was earned, but it wasn't exactly like a dominant performance.
No, it was solid.
Yeah,
you take it, but. Yeah,
you ask for more than it's okay. Okay, if that's your peak, then that's not good.
Yeah, exactly. Like technically, he got the win. Congrats.
He did. Yeah, to him. Happy for him.
Congrats, buddy.
Congrats to number 76.
Yeah,
which I'll give him this. I don't think I can name another number 76 in Yankees history. So
I didn't even know his number was 76.
I'll be honest. I had to look it up.
There you go.
Okay, well, here you go. Literally the only other person to wear number 76 is
Tanner Swanson,
the catching coach.
Which now I know, I don't know what he wore. What is his, does he also have it this year? Were they both wearing 76?
Uh-oh. 76 drama. Did he have to did he demand it? And Johnny Brito had to give him like a gold watch for it.
Apparently, Tanner Swanson wore 68 in the year 2020, but then has since been 76. What the? All right. Sure, why not?
We got to resolve this. What is Tanner Swanson wearing now? He is wearing 73. There you go. That's what the Yankees site says. So
there we go. Had to give up his 76 for Johnny Brito. Yeah.
Apparently, Brad Wilkerson is wearing Dellen's number 68, which is interesting. Different body types.
Yeah, well, it went from Dellen to Tanner Swanson to Brad Wilkerson.
The circle of life.
Brad Wilkerson, the person John Schneider was referring to, apparently.
Yeah, Expos legend, must be said. That's how I remember him. All right, I guess something else to talk about. We briefly touched on Ian Hamilton hitting the IL, but also hitting the IL this week, and a bit of a surprise was Jose Trevino. He is on the shelf for a little bit with that was a hamstring strain, I believe, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So instead we get Ben Rortvedt.
He exists.
He played. He looked okay.
Yeah, no, he was fine. Technically he has a 500 batting average right now.
Look at him go.
Better than expected with his where did it go? His 241 OPS plus. So Ben Rortvedt, better than Aaron Judge, if you ask me. Don't ask
me. Hey, these are just the numbers, folks. We are here to report the facts. Yes. Don't ask sample us size. About sample size. Yeah.
Sample size be damned.
Yeah. But no, we'll probably end up seeing a little bit more of Rortvedt in the next week or so, with Higgy making the majority of the starts. And, you know, it's weird to not see Jose Trevino there, just even though we've only technically had him on the team for like a little over a year at this point. But he's just such a staple back there. And even when he's not doing much of the bat, as has been the case for, you know, frankly, most of the past 10 months, basically from the second half onward, he's such a defensive force back there. The pitchers love throwing to him. He has a great idea of game calling. great framing, does everything well. There's a reason he won that Platinum Glove there. So they will have to get by without him, but you see the value of a defensive catcher and basically like the Astros sticking with Martin Maldonado, no matter how bad his offensive numbers get. And I think the Yankees are basically in that camp too.
Yeah. I will say I'll give kudos to Ben Rortvedt for embracing the he's not a real person joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that point, you'd be like, yeah, I've heard the jokes. Because, I mean, how can you not at that point?
Well, if he's not a real person, that's how you cut it out.
Yeah. That's true. So yeah. In the Yankees and Scranton Wilkes-Barre Rail Riders accounts on Twitter were both like getting in on that too. It's like, yes, he's real.
Yeah. No, good stuff. Good fun all around.
Yeah. The Red Series was a little bit less chaotic than everything that went on in Toronto, though we still had some weird glove stuff going on with Clark Schmidt and, quote, glove fur.
Yes. Yeah. He had some glove fur on his hand. Was it coming back out for the fourth inning or fifth inning? I forget which one it was, but the umpires checked him and, you know, made him go back and wash his hands. And the umpire, I forgot who it was, after the game was like, yeah, no, he didn't have a foreign substance. He could just there were some black marks on it. It was like from the glove, I guess. He was just sweating way too much. But, quote, glove fur was a first. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I can't say I've heard that one either. That was just like, ugh. I mean, I guess technically, but.
Yeah. And it was the first time David Bell was ejected in that series.
Yeah, David Bell, not exactly pleased with the umpiring crew. No one was really pleased with the umpiring crew, frankly, in this series.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for being annoyed either. I think this was like different than the Domingo Germán thing, but coming on the heels of what happened with Germán, I could see him being like, well, I don't think you should give them any breaks. Probably if we were a Reds podcast, one, we would be very sad, but two, we would be like, yeah, David Bell.
Yeah, we'd be roaring for him. And then he got ejected on Sunday again as well. Yeah. For
that was I love that we got the both interim. We've got both bench coaches popping in as the acting managers in that game.
Yeah, Aaron Boone ejected before noon, which is just so funny.
That has to be one of the earliest ejections in MLB history, just in terms of time.
Yeah, because like not many games are starting at 11:35.
No, like. There's then, like the Beehawk games, there's the Boston Marathon game, then like if they're ever playing like season opening series in Japan or like Korea next year, that could happen at like 6 a.m. Eastern, but that's a little different.
I'm for that, I'm going to go with whatever local time is.
Yeah, I think this has got to be up there. I respect it. It's like, you know what? This especially is stupid. That was a bad call, and I just want to sit in my office and drink coffee.
Yeah, especially like, it's way too early for this. You get thrown out in the first inning. I don't even care anymore.
Whatever. It's just the Reds.
Yeah. And then, yeah, David Bell getting ejected because he was arguing about a quick pitch. But, like, what I found funny about that was, like, it was a ball.
Yeah. I think it was just, like, standing on principle. But
yeah. No, 100%. Like, I get it. It was just amusing to me.
Yeah. So, odd finale. But, hey, Seve took over. And so did Aaron Judge, whose name we have not really talked about in terms of, like, actual performance beyond the home run, because he really brought it this past week. And he had like the 4-hit game, his first one since last year, and just a bunch of home runs too. This is the Aaron Judge that we saw last year, basically.
Yeah, he's basically trying to make good on my promise of 74. Okay. Like, I almost said his promise, and I was like, wait, no, he never promised that.
Breaking my news. Promise. Aaron Judge vows 74 home runs in a month.
That's drawing that up the timeline. That was part of the deal for accepting the captaincy.
Yes.
And look, man, it's going to happen. I'm telling you.
The middle game of that series with the Reds was a little closer than I would have liked. It was weird that they went that quiet against the Reds and had to go to 10 innings. Made me a little bit nervous, but then they finally turned up then with Judge getting the big hit, and then Rizzo, who also had his second straight really good week in a row with the big home run. He had a couple home runs in Cincinnati, really showing his comfort from his Cubs days, no doubt.
Yeah, well, if Johnny Brito didn't have to give up four runs every time he pitched, then maybe it'd be a different story.
Yeah, that was part of it too. But also, you'd like them to do a little bit better against the Reds bullpen in those like mid to late innings. They got it right in the 10th inning when they really like laid it on, but still.
Listen, you do not understand the struggle of facing Buck Farmer.
Buck Farmer, yes. Great name. Even better Spoonerism. the Cincinnati Reds.
Classic Buck Farmer. Like, there's no other team a person named Buck Farmer could pitch for, I don't think.
I remember he came up with the Tigers, but like...
Yeah, and he's not there anymore because it wasn't allowed.
Going, no, this doesn't make sense. You gotta go to the Reds.
Yeah.
Did Buck Farmer ever pitch in the Field of Dreams game? Because he should have.
I have no idea.
I gotta look this up, because I know the Reds were in the Field of Dreams game last year. So
right, what date was that?
It was in August, I assume. That's not helpful.
Let's see. August 11, 2022. Where is my Buck Farmer page? There it is. Let's go to his 2022 game logs.
He did pitch in it.
He did pitch in it. One and a third inning, one hit, no runs allowed, no walks, and a strikeout.
Good for you.
Buck Farmer.
Finally in his natural state.
Yes.
Well, anyway, after that detour.
You know what? This is my Yankee of the Week. Buck Farmer pitching in the Field of Dreams game last year.
Yes, very much to do with the Yankees. Yeah. Hey, they were in the previous year's Field of Dreams game.
Hey, yeah. And last year's Field of Dreams game was apparently on my mother's birthday. So it's all relative here, folks.
See, it's not all about the dads of Field of Dreams, folks.
Yes.
It's also about Kunja's mom.
Yes.
Specifically.
Very, very specifically her.
Yeah. Well, okay, something else we need to talk about that probably should have come earlier. Aaron Hicks is no longer on the team.
Oh, so we're just going straight from like Buck Farmer to Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, I mean, there's no easy segue with Aaron Hicks. Not at any point in the past 3 years anyway. So
no, it's fair. It sucks.
Yeah.
Just because of how it came to an end. Like, I think you and I both we both really like Aaron Hicks, like just the person. Like, you know, he seems like a really cool dude, down to earth. And obviously you could tell by the way he like his just body language and everything. He wasn't like happy or anything like that. He wanted to be better, wanted to get better. Just I don't know if the injuries just took a toll on him or what it was, but yeah, it's just been a struggle, especially ever since he had the wrist surgery, I think.
Yeah, because like 2020, the shortened season, he was still pretty good at the bat, but basically once he came back from the injury that he had in 2021, and he just wasn't the same guy last year. I mean, one of the reasons why they had to go out and get like an Andrew Benintendi was because not only was Joey Gallo not doing anything, Aaron Hicks wasn't doing much either. And his play was just getting worse. You could see him taking it out into the field occasionally. It was just rough. And I feel bad too, especially since he was actually like, I don't know how sustainable it was. Probably not, but he was hitting a little bit better in the previous week. But I think the Yankees unjustifiably made the decision. We can do something better with his roster spot. I just, again, we keep hammering this home. Wish they had decided this in the offseason because this was not news.
Yeah, no, I don't know why they decided that this experiment was going to maybe work or turn stuff around. Maybe it was just like, hey, we're paying him. Let's give it one more shot or whatever it was. But yeah, it was bad. To your point, like in the last like week or so, he had been, you know, a little bit more palatable. Played appearances and whatnot. He had a 3-hit game. He hit a home run, at least.
Mm-hmm. It happened. We saw it.
But yeah, it was just, not a long time coming, but it's something that probably should have happened sooner, like you said.
Yeah. And even if like you weren't going to cut him in the offseason, they should have just gotten like a better reserve outfielder to, you could plug that in. And this is not meant to be a slight on Greg Allen, old friend who came back to the Yankees. Is really funny to see that they traded for him, and then suddenly we see the news that they were swapping Hicks for Allen. It's like, oh, okay, well, fine. But he's a useful player who can, as we've seen, really run the bases. He's perfect with steals this year in the minors and stolen a whole bunch too. I think he was 23 for 23, and he's okay with the glove too. But again, you just wish that they would have like found a better use for a reserve outfielder spot. But best of luck to Greg Allen anyway. He got off to a good start this weekend, that's for sure.
Hey, he's got a triple because he's got those wheels.
Yeah, and he stole a base and moved up on a wild pitch. Had a good tag on moving from second to third in the game on Saturday to help Judge bring him in for that run in extra innings. So these are like these little differences of the margins that like Aaron Hicks didn't even have that speed anymore. So Allen's just immediately a better player because Hicks is not doing that
yeah,
much.
He says something.
So. Yeah.
So he has something to provide.
So I appreciate that they upgraded that roster spot. I just wish it didn't take them until mid-May to do so.
Yeah. Like, I think the only the funny part about the whole thing is just like kind of how and when it happened, right? You know, we've been talking about like, oh, when Giancarlo Stanton gets back or whatever, like, you know, all these things, potential like opportunities or whatever. When Harrison Bader gets back, they might have to cut Aaron Hicks, and you know, somehow he stuck through it, but then randomly make a trade with the Red Sox for Greg Allen because he had a what was it, upward mobility clause, yeah, which like we've heard of those before, just I've never heard that phrasing before, mm-hmm. So that was amusing to me, but. Yeah, and then that's the move to finally be like, you know what, Aaron Hicks, it's We're time. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just the timing seemed odd too, because it was like the middle of the series, like they played the game with Aaron Hicks on Friday night, and then the next day he's just like you just see reports being like Aaron Hicks is cleaning out his locker. It's like, oh god. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess it might have probably had to do with Greg Allen's upward mobility clause, right?
Like, yeah, I'm sure that is like exactly why it happened on that specific date. It's just very odd.
Otherwise, you would think they'd at least wait for like the off, like today, like the off day or something like that. Come back home and then do it. But yeah, because the whole thing with Greg Allen was that the Red Sox either had to promote him or trade him to a team that would give him a major league opportunity. And well,
wouldn't you know it? 2021 Yankees legend Greg Allen back in the mix, booting Aaron Hicks out of here. Jeez.
Yeah. What a world.
Yeah. Think he plays again? I think he'll catch on somewhere, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, someone's going to give him a chance, especially because like they basically have to pay him nothing, right? He's going to clear waivers. Like, nobody's going to claim him.
No.
He's going to clear waivers, become a free agent, and then maybe he gets a minor deal or minors deal or something like that.
Or maybe he joins someone as like a bench player with the possibility for a bigger role if he hits.
Yeah. Maybe
Detroit Tigers. He's calling out to you. I don't know.
Maybe he'll go back home to Minnesota.
Yeah. Well, probably not.
No, not at all.
No. I think they've barred him from the ballpark after that that robbery.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good Aaron Hicks moment.
We'll always have that, the homer off of Justin Verlander in the playoffs.
I remember he had a 3-homer game against the Red Sox in like 2018, I think.
Yeah.
And of course in 2017 when he broke out, and that was his first really good year because they had traded for him. And then 2016 was not good for him. So it was just like, well, what are they doing exactly? He seems okay defensively. But then it all came together in that season where pretty much everything came together. Aaron Hicks is one of the most important parts of the second best Yankees team in the past 20 years. That's full stop, you know?
Yep.
So we wish him no ill will. We wish him the best, but it was well past time for it to end. So sayonara.
Yeah. Sucks how it ended. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your time with the Yankees and for, you know, trying. Yes.
All right. Let's take an ad break and we will be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
And we're back. So we're going to wrap up with just covering some injuries that we not yet discussed. Seems like Carlos Rodon is in throwing program that's having him throw further and further, build up arm strength, and, you know, hopefully he will make his way back to a rehab assignment too. Nothing yet has been announced, but it does feel like they are inching ever so slowly toward that.
Yeah, for what it's worth, Rodon has been asking or basically implying that he wants to keep pitching, or like, you know, he's ready to go or whatever. And the Yankees are just being conservative with him, which makes sense, I guess. They just committed to him for 6 years. The last thing they want to do is, you know, get him back out too quickly and then just lose him for later on. So, you know, they're just like, we'll weather the storm right now and then have you, if at all possible, which isn't starting to look like it will be, but like rather have you in the second half, you know, ready to go rather than bringing you back too early and having to have you miss time then.
Yeah, I'd like to hope that they know that it's like, because it's chronic, he's going to have to like pitch through it basically like for the rest of his career. So
yeah,
as long as like he feels like he's getting a better handle on it, a lot of it was like his comfort level. So hopefully they do get to the point where they're like, okay, let's see if we can get you back on the mound this year, because we don't really want to wait till 2024. That'd be kind of sad.
Yeah. And Rodon said that he was pitching through this last year with the Giants too. So
yeah, so
a little bit more hopeful this week, I guess.
That's all we got. Yeah. Giancarlo Stanton seems like he's getting pretty close to rehab games himself, and that's another one where the Yankees have been taking it slow just because of the nature of Stanton's injury history. Right. I believe it'll probably end up being around like the 4 to 6 week timeline that they had first said when he went down with the injury, just because you assume he'll probably need like maybe a little under a week of rehab games. So
yeah, I think next week would be the, like, at whatever point would be 6 weeks since he went down. So let's see.
Yeah.
But yeah, Aaron Boone said he's, quote, getting real close.
Hurrah.
Yay. At least he's resumed like baseball activities fully and stuff like that. So now it's just a matter of getting him into some game action, which again, they're being conservative about, but
yeah. Now who was getting close to game action, but now is not, is Josh Donaldson. sliced his thumb setting up a toy for his daughter, which is just like, yeah, that sounds about right.
You know what? That toy is my actual Yankee of the week.
Yeah, man. Like, you could keep taking your time, Joshy. It's okay.
Yeah. Make sure the thumb is fully unsliced.
DJ LeMahieu, by the way, really good defense in Cincinnati. He was looking great.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's why, you know, and which is pretty much all that Josh Donaldson can offer at this point is his glove. So
yeah,
I'm fine with the DJ experience.
I think that's most of the injury updates, because we already talked about like Trevino, Ian Hamilton, Kane Lee's getting closer. It seems like because he's already in rehab assignments, he should be with Somerset or Scranton this week. So ideally he's back sometime next week with the West Coast road trip.
Yeah. The Yankees said that they would like him to have like 5 to 6 rehab assignments, but at least 2 with either Somerset or Scranton. And then they'll evaluate again after that. Like, it doesn't necessarily need to be the 6, but he'll have at least 2 outings there before they decide and call him up. So it'll probably depend on how this week goes, if any new injuries come up or whatever. And just, yeah, like you said, going into that West Coast trip, just how they feel about their bullpen state before they decide, yeah, let's just activate him and bring him along for the ride.
Right. And Oswald Peraza is healthy again, but he was officially optioned and basically just like Captain Scranton off the IL, which I think makes sense. I don't really see where he would be playing consistently right now with how the Yankees lineup is humming along. So I think that's okay for the time being, especially with like both Judge and Bader back the lineup. You know, we already have like a DH and don't need to like rotate DJ or Rizzo in there. So yeah.
Yeah. And it makes sense to just keep letting him get consistent at bats instead of just kind of hanging around the bench just to, you know, be a part of the ride.
Yeah.
In some encouraging, I guess, news, Luis Gil, who we haven't, you know, thought about in a long time, but you know, he's recovering from Tommy John surgery. He had his first bullpen session this past week, so you know, that's just fun, I guess.
Yeah, good, that'll be something that
it's not like anything for the immediate future or whatever,
right? But it's something where we've seen, you know, the Yankees' AAA depth in the rotation is such that Johnny Brito was the first man getting calls early in the season. So hopefully if Heel can make a comeback toward that, or possibly even a bullpen role, maybe that could be in his future too, because I think his stuff would really work in a short relief role. But also, just down to AAA, this isn't an injury note, but Will Warren got promoted from AA. He's a serious pitching prospect for them. So just another guy who could potentially come up if the situation arises, and he's pitching well in AAA because he's a better ceiling than most of those guys.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Congrats to him on his promotion.
Yes, Will Warren. Better than Adam, maybe. We'll see.
Will he?
Oh, Adam Warren, I guess, did pitch like almost 10 years in the big, so that's not nothing.
That's not a bad bar.
Yeah.
it's a solid career, and then he had spent like 4 years towards the end of it at Scranton again, where you're just wondering, like, are the Yankees going to call him up?
Yeah.
Why is he here?
That must have been a little bit awkward. It's like, I guess this isn't happening. Like when they had Nick Swisher there in like 2016 or whatever for a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That was a thing, too.
Yeah. I do appreciate that he basically just like turned Waffle House into his like office hours. like come here and I'll buy this cheap food and we'll just talk baseball and stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, got to know Aaron Judge and a whole bunch of those other guys that were coming up then. So good timing for Swish.
Nick Swisher is the reason Aaron Judge is so good. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah. And, well, mainly Waffle House, but also Nick Swisher.
It's all relative.
Yeah. Okay. So now that we've talked about Adam Warren, I believe it is time to move on to the BREF check-in. So I don't think Adam Warren made it this week, but let me know if I'm wrong.
Shockingly, Adam Warren is not on the top 12, but hey, maybe next year, next week. But yeah, sitting atop is still Gerrit Cole, firmly holding his place as the Yankees BREF war leader, but following him, Aaron Judge returns to the number two spot after what as we talked about earlier, just a ridiculous week from the Yankees captain, coming back from injury and then just going off. So kudos to him on his return to number two there. Let's see if he can get ahead of Gerrit Cole.
Do it, you won't.
Following Aaron Judge is Anthony Rizzo, who's been phenomenal this whole season. So, you know, really doing some work there. Ian Hamilton comes in at four, which is wild.
He was doing really well.
Yeah. And then the last few days he's been on the IL. He's still just up there, which is funny to me. But rounding out the top five, Anthony Volpe, Michael King up there, Harrison Bader, stupid Domingo Herman and his poop hands. Jimmy Cordero, who we probably should have talked about a little bit more, but also we threw him into the whole bullpen conversation, but also just a very solid week for him.
Yeah, I think he pitched like five times, honestly. It was
four
appearances, all scoreless, five innings total, and 84 pitches in 7 days. That's a lot of bullpen work.
And that includes the two innings of the opener of the Brito game in Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure I wasn't messing up my memory.
Yep.
And then the rounding out the top 12 are Wandy Peralta, Clay Holmes, who's made his return to this leaderboard, which just shows you how, you know,
back to much adequacy.
Much he's taken to his new role of, hey, yeah, just use me when you need to instead of the ninth inning or whatever. And then DJ LeMahieu at number 12.
Yeah, pretty good.
I'll take it.
With Holmes in particular, I will say it is less annoying just when he blows a lead in an inning that is not the ninth. So that's all I got. But hey, he hasn't been doing that. He's been good.
He did try his best to blow the save on Sunday, though.
That made me nervous. Yeah, that was the ninth inning. So.
Yes.
Reds had the go-ahead run at the plate. Winning run, excuse me.
Yeah.
They were Yankees were fortunate though that the winning run was Will Benson, who is just a guy.
He's no Buck Farmer, really.
No. Well, who is?
Who amongst them?
Anyway, so that's the BREF check-in. I think. Are you ready to wrap this up?
Let's do it.
All right, Yankee and Manfred of the week. Who do you have for Yankee of the week?
I'm going Ben Rortvedt.
Hell yeah.
Finally, you know, proving to us he's real, just owning that whole thing, having a solid game in his Yankee debut. And, you know, once he hit that double, him doing the you can't see me celebration was just the cherry on top. And I really appreciated that. So, yeah. Ben Rortman, you're my Yankee of the week.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I appreciate that he exists, sort of.
Yes.
I will say the very obvious pick of Aaron Judge. I actually just did a Fangraph. I don't always do this, but I did a Fangraph sort of last 7 days best hitters by the qualified plate appearances. And I hadn't even gone to sorting by the Yankees yet. And Aaron Judge just leads all of baseball in the past week with a 500, 621, 1273 triple slash with a 385 WRC plus and 5 home runs. That's doing good.
He had 11 hits and only 5 of them were home runs. Isn't he really the Yankee of the week?
He had 1.1 WAR just a week. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm curious if MLB will give him Player of the Week, or they'll be like, maybe we'll just find an excuse to give it to someone else.
They're gonna have to do what we do, just other Yankee of the week, other Player of the Week.
Yeah, it'll be Ben Rortman. you would never ever guess who is number 2, though.
I won't.
No, he's on the Nationals.
I don't know who's on the Nationals.
Jamer Candelario, obviously.
Oh, sure, 100%.
Does that name ring a bell to you?
No, I do know him. Yes.
Yeah, because he was on the Tigers, and then he's just popped up on the Nationals. Yeah.
No, I had no idea he was on the Nets.
Yeah, surprise.
I will say, you know, kudos to the Nationals, who aren't as awful as I expected them to be. They're just regular bad.
That's I think I had that thought pretty recently too, because yeah, they're just fine bad, you know. Maybe that is going to come. Maybe that's going to come later in the season when they just trade whoever is, like, Jamer Candelario is a guy who they could just get rid of if someone wants to buy him from them. So maybe once they get rid of some of these players who are just placeholders, then that will not last. But for now, 20 and 27, last place, but thumbs up.
I'm looking at Baseball Reference's simple rating system, and they're only minus half, whatever the hell that means. Well, regular bad.
Congrats.
Somehow better than the Marlins, who are in third place in that division.
Improbably. They keep winning like a million one-run games. That's how.
Yeah. They're a game over 500.
Do you know who is not good? The Oakland A's, 10 and 38. 208 winning percentage. 20 games behind the Rangers already. God.
Like, how is there not an E next to their name at this point?
I don't know, but you have to do some serious work to be 20 games behind before June starts. Like, a week from June starting.
Yeah. They did get their 10th win just in this past week. And then...
Yeah. And then there's the AL Central, where, you know, the Twins are the only good team, and even they're just 25 and 22. Which, granted, is only a little bit worse than the Yankees, but still.
It is funny, though, because the Twins at 25 and 22 are tied with the Toronto Blue Jays, who are in last place in this division in the AL East.
Yeah, there was a good Effectively Wild segment on this recently, where it's like, oh yeah, all the teams in the AL East and then the AL Central are just in order, because...
Yeah, no, it has been for like a little while, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't really know when that's changing, because even the worst of the AL East is better.
Yeah.
Like, what are the Tigers in second place in that division? Like, they're not good either.
Because the White Sox have just imploded, thanks to Tony La Russa.
Yeah, and the Guardians can't hit at all.
Yeah.
They got mollywopped by the Mets.
And the Royals still can't watch porn, so.
The Royals are...
Actually, I don't know.
The Royals are low-key worse than the A's in some ways, because, like, the A's just have, like, nothing, no hope at all. The Royals at least have, like, some young players who, like, should be doing better than this, and they're just horrible. Anyway.
Yeah.
This has been Around the AL Central on the 5-Minute Park podcast.
At least they gave Sal Perez the captaincy this year.
Because the captain's going down to the ship.
I did not know Jackie Bradley Jr. is on the Royals.
Yeah, apparently. All right.
Sure.
Okay. Who is your man for the week?
It's the easy pick. It's Domingo Ramon. Dude, wash your hands. Stop being an idiot. Learn how to wipe.
Dumb. That's all I got.
Like conveniently, it happened around when Luis Severino's coming back, and I think they only need to figure out like a game or whatever. But it's still just annoying and dumb.
Yeah, and putting your team in a bad spot. And there had been advance notice of like, don't be an idiot, and he was an idiot anyway. So
yeah, that's the thing, right? It wasn't just the first time, because if it was the first time, like I'm still calling him dumb and all that crap. But dude, come on, man.
Yeah, not great. My man for the week.
You can give it to Domingo Ramon too if you want.
Yeah, sure. I was thinking about saying like DJ LeMahieu, but even he had some good defense too. He hasn't been hitting at all in the past week, but yeah.
No,
we're gonna give it to that. Actually, you know what? We're gonna give it to the umpiring ruling in Sunday's game with the ball that Jake Bowers, who also did not have a good week, had deflected off him. He should have made that catch anyway. So mini co-Manfred of the week there. He also has zero hits in the past week. But they call that ball foul, and obviously Bowers is not in a rush to get it, and then they rule in the replay. It's fair, and the run scores. Like, yes, it's fair, but I don't think you can justifiably say that the runner would have scored if you had already called the play dead, and that's why Bowers is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they got part of it right into, you know, turning it into a fair ball. Yeah, 100% that's right. But the other part of it, whatever. The only thing I'll just say is like the Yankees shouldn't let one run against the Reds, you know, defeat them, and they didn't. So
yes,
good job.
Actually, you know what? Scratch all that. Manfred of the week is John Schneider because that guy's annoying.
I was just about to say, like, I honestly thought about giving it to Kevin Gausman just because. Did you see the whole thing?
Yeah,
about,
it was like I want three innings back.
Yeah, that whole organization, just giant babies.
Mm-hmm. Bunch of hosers.
No Molson for you, eh?
All right. By the way, congratulations to the Edmonton Oilers for securing 30 years without the Stanley Cup in Canada.
Woo!
Sorry, Connor McDavid. Anyway. Poor Devils. Also eliminated since our last talk, I think.
I think it might have happened before. I don't remember.
Yeah, maybe it did. I don't know. I'm trying to put it away from me. Stupid Canes. Go Rats.
Yeah, go Florida, go Las Vegas. The two the two places I think about when I think hockey.
Yeah, that's what I've always famously said. I mean, at this point, I will say like Vegas is like really so entrenched the Knights into like the city that I almost do think of them pretty quickly. But also, we're not normal people. So.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right, okay, we've been going too long. Follow us on Twitter at Podument Park. Follow me at Burns PSA. Follow Pinstrip Alley at Pinstrip Alley. Do you have anything to say, or should we just get out of here?
Go Yankees, go baseball. Oh, the Yankees have a West Coast trip coming up next week, and I'm very thankful for the pitch clock to actually make me interested in watching.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and actually those games will begin mostly at like 9:40, other than the Friday game, so we'll take that, because at least it's a little, it might only be like 25 minutes ahead of normal, but we will take the advantage.
100%.
All right. Go Yankees. They're playing Orioles and Padres this week. So take care of business. Make sure the dads keep being sad.
Yeah. The Padres are 100% going to show up and be good this week, right? Like, it's going to be annoying.
Probably.
And it's not going to be that annoying because they should be better than they have been. But yeah, whatever.
Boo, dads. Boo.
Just for this week.
Yes. All right. Bye, everyone.